You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Jonathan Schanzer, the executive director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, just returned from the Middle East to comment on the moving story of the hostiles in this attack on Israel from 23 and their apparent move to unusual results. You will see soon enough, we're not dealing with all hostiles. Some are friendly to the United States, and yet the future is unclear. We begin in Lebanon. There has been an effort since the ceasefire, which I think is a month old. I lose track. Maybe a year old. Whatever, there has been a ceasefire that's not a ceasefire because Hezbollah, most recently, is showing signs of reawakening. Qassam turned out to be perhaps an appropriate boss because he's bookish and mousy and doesn't inspire anyone. And that gives the impression that Hezbollah is laying low. It is not, what I'm told, true. Rearming, money flowing in, perhaps from Dubai, perhaps from other sources in Turkey. The Israelis are watching this, and what is to be done? Jonathan, a very good evening to you. You've warned me of Hezbollah for months now, and there's reason to believe others are seeing what you've seen for some time. And the Israelis are no longer satisfied with observation posts in the south. They've, in fact, used their high-performance drones and air power to strike into Beirut itself for leadership in Hezbollah. What is your understanding of the rebuilding? Where is it in their minds about the time to be able to launch attack again and stop playing dead? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, I think the Israelis last week actually issued a threat that they were about to launch a full-blown attack against Hezbollah in Lebanon. There were officials in Iraq that were given warning of this middle of last week amidst a flurry of messages that were being passed back and forth through the United States. The threat really does come from a couple of different places, but primarily it's Iranian weapons that are now being smuggled across the frontier with Syria. There was a time where we believed that the al-Shara regime had shut it down. That is apparently no longer the case. Syria is back open for business for Iranian weapon smugglers. We're also hearing that there may be weapons and or cash flowing through Turkish-occupied northern Cyprus into Lebanon. But the bottom line, John, is that Hezbollah has been able to gain back some of the strength that Israel had destroyed. Over the months of 2024, the last year or so, Hezbollah has made a significant effort and a successful one to rebuild. And so the Israelis they were pulled back from the brink by the United States. As we understand it right now, the U.S. is forcing Lebanon and Israel to engage in a dialogue, a frank dialogue. The good news, John, is that this is the first time that such a thing has happened in something like seven decades. The bad news is that as long as they're talking, Hezbollah continues to grow in strength. So there does need to be a decision made about what is to come next. The Lebanese government has been ambivalent about dismantling Hezbollah, primarily because they probably lack the ability to do so. So they've been sitting on their hands, fearing a confrontation with this organization, but also condemning Israel for any actions that they've taken up until now. So we are still very much at a crossroads, a yellow light, if you will, But one does get a sense that Hezbollah will likely start to encounter some challenges by the Israelis in the coming weeks unless some real progress is made.
To Gaza, there's reporting now about what is ahead, which is to remove the debris before he can begin building. There's reporting that the Hamas officials, no names, are making absurd remarks about, we'll talk about giving up our guns, but we won't talk about disarming. Something nonsensical like that. Other threats that the reason we don't have to honor the ceasefire is because of Israeli violations in October. A lot of foolish remarks being passed around. At the same time, Gaza, the Hamas has not reached the second phase of the so-called ceasefire, which is to disarm. What is the thinking in Jerusalem about what's left of Hamas and this? Their statements don't make any sense.
No, well, their statements make some sense when you begin to realize, John, that this is an organization that doesn't want to disarm. And we're now seeing supporting statements coming out of Qatar and Turkey, the two patrons of Hamas. Both of these countries have actually enabled Hamas leaders to stand up and to deliver messages that underscore this point, that they're basically saying that Israel's very presence in the Gaza Strip, in what we would call the safe zone outside of the yellow line, they're saying that Israel should not be there. Of course, this was stipulated, John, in the 20-point plan that the Qataris and the Turks brokered in the first place. So everybody here understands that Israel is fully in the right to remain inside this safe zone surrounding the Hamas territory that's roughly 47% of the Gaza Strip. There have been clashes where Hamas fighters have come out of tunnels. Last week, they injured 5 Israeli soldiers. The Israelis struck back. Things are still quite tense there right now. But the big takeaway here is that Qatar and Turkey, the two primary patrons of Hamas outside of Iran, are beginning to try to revise the agreement that they brokered several months ago. Now, in the meantime, John, there is still one hostage that has yet to be returned to Israel. They have returned every one of them except for the body of Israeli Ron Gavili. The Israelis say they think they might know where he is, and they're trying to get past that. After that happens, then comes the very difficult discussion, as you mentioned, of disarming, because we know it's going to be difficult because Hamas does not appear to be interested. Khaled Meshal, one of the top leaders, said so out of Turkey. And then Bassem Naim, one of the spokespeople for Hamas out of Qatar, said the same. So we're seeing a consistent message across Hamas and across the patrons.
You mentioned Turkey. That is the sanctuary of the Muslim Brothers, who are the parent organization of Hamas. And since we talked, or these last weeks, the U.S. has announced that it will name parts of the Muslim Brotherhood, they're in different countries, to be a foreign terrorist organization. Is that going to change the status of the Hamas gangsters taking refuge in Turkey? Will that change the map?
It likely will not, John. I mean, it looks like right now, at least according to the executive order, that the goal will be to designate arms of the Brotherhood, which would include the group that's based in Lebanon, the groups that are based in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood in Jordan. It would be these three primarily, and perhaps maybe a few others as well. But the patrons did not appear to be targeted by this executive order. Now, I am hearing, John, that there are efforts underway in Congress to widen the action taken by the U.S. government. However, it seems unlikely to me that legislation will pass, given the very partisan atmosphere that we have in Washington right now. I'm not convinced that they would be more successful with legislation. We may need to just stick with what Trump has issued through the executive order and perhaps watch it broaden out over the months or maybe even years ahead. Look, regardless of what happens, I think this was a positive first step taken by the Trump administration. No one has done this until now. And as of course, I think all of your listeners know, the Muslim Brotherhood is the cornerstone of every violent ideology that the United States has fought over the years. This includes Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Hamas, the Taliban, they have all drawn inspiration from the Muslim Brotherhood. It was high time to take this move. The question now is, how wide do they allow this action to go?
Does Erdogan believe he is a Muslim Brother?
Oh, yes. He would, I mean, the AK party, the AKP, his political party, very much identifies with the Muslim Brotherhood. And so when you look at this action taken by the United States, this undeniably irked Erdogan. It irked the Emir of Qatar, Emir Tamim. Both of them, I think, had to have seen this as an affront. Now, they have been rather quiet since the measure was dropped, but I have a feeling that they're probably furiously lobbying behind the scenes to try to water this down or to eviscerate it at the end of the day.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Shanzer, just returned from the Middle East. He's the executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. When we come back, Syria. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.